Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. But just before this, David has been king of Israel for a while. Things are going really well. And David orders a census taken of the people, which kind of sounds good, except he was not supposed to do that. And it gets called to his attention. I mean, he takes the census. He does confess his sin and is repentant. But God says, you know, there's going to be a punishment for this. You know, God does take sin pretty seriously. He gives him a choice of three things. David takes the choice of a serious disease. As a result of this disease, 70,000 people died. Pretty serious deal. And that's where we're going to pick up here in verse 16. It said, David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with a drawn sword in his hand extended over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell face down. David said to God, "Was it not I who ordered the fighting men to be counted? I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. But these are but sheep. What have they done? O Lord my God, let your hand fall upon me and my family, but do not let this plague remain on your people." Then the angel of the Lord ordered Gad to tell David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David went up in obedience to the word that Gad had spoken in the name of the Lord. Where Araunah was threshing wheat, he turned and saw the angel. His four sons who were with him hid themselves. Then David approached, and when Araunah looked and saw him, he left the threshing floor and bowed down before David with his face to the ground. David said to him, "Let me have the site of your threshing floor so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. Sell it to me at the full price." Araunah said to David, "Take it. Let my lord the king do whatever pleases him. Look, I will give the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing sledges for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give all this." But King David replied to Araunah, "No, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing." Now let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We know that it's true, that it will accomplish its purposes. And Lord, as we look at your scripture this morning, I just pray that you would open our hearts to receive what you have for us. Lord, I just pray that it wouldn't just be intellectual learning, Lord, but we would take and you would change our lives. You would change us into your image and make us your obedient servants. We just ask your blessing on this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Came across this passage, I was reading through the Old Testament, and it just kind of hit me. I think it's one of those things that you can just miss. But the thing that really hit me is the last couple of verses there where David is supposed to, you know, basically provide an altar, do an offering, and go through all this stuff. And here he's got a guy who says, "Hey, tell you what, I'll just provide the whole thing." And David says, no, I will not give an offering to the Lord that does not cost me anything. That would just, you know, that'd be kind of tacky, wouldn't it? Because I'm sure we wouldn't do that, except I have a confession to make. We did that, I think, at least once. Back when we got married, that was a while ago. It was 25 years ago, this September. Yeah, that was kind of before the internet and all the gift registry and all that kind of stuff. And you get a lot of nice presents. And I think everybody in weddings those days got some of those really nice serving bowls. And they're nice. Everybody should have one or two. But sometimes you get five or six of them. And I think it was a couple years after the wedding. We kind of got settled into a different house and whatnot. And there was a wedding coming up and we hadn't gotten a gift yet. And my wife's like, "Well, I was thinking about giving them one of those bowls." And I was like, "Oh, isn't that tacky? We can't do that." I think, did we give it to them? Probably. We don't still do that, do we? We're out of bowls. Okay. I apologize to any of you if you think maybe it was the bowl you gave us, but you know, sometimes, you know, you think about a gift or an offering. If it doesn't cost you anything, what really did you give? David was kind of offered that temptation in a way, but he would not do that. And he did not do that. It kind of made me do a little heart check about how do I do things? How about when I give something? When the Lord calls me to give some of my time or my money or my energy, you know, do I give him sacrificially? You know, I think, unfortunately, a lot of times we just give him leftovers. Yeah, it's a clothing drive, and yeah, I think we should give him some stuff, you know. There's that shirt I didn't like. There's the pants that never fit. And we should give some shoes, too. I mean, the shoes are kind of wore out anyway. Whether it's that kind of sacrifice or sometimes with our time. He's waiting every day to spend some time with you. And a lot of times, you know, we don't really build that into the day. We just kind of like, well, if I got some time or energy tonight when I get done with everything else, we'll see. And sometimes it's that way with our money. It's like, well, I'll give an offering. We'll go through the week and see if we've got anything left by Sunday instead of setting it aside first. So I guess the point I want to make out of this whole thing with looking at David's choice of not giving an offering that doesn't cost him anything is that we need to be intentional about our acts of worship. We're going to turn now to another passage, Matthew 19, verses 16 to 22. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which one?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Seems this young man had kind of a checklist attitude. You know, he went down, basically he went through some of the commandments. And basically he went through, you know, he hadn't shot anybody, he hadn't committed adultery, he hadn't, you know, done any of these dastardly things. So, you know, he's kind of working down the checklist and kind of a works type thing, thinking, yeah, I did this, and I think I'm okay. But at the end, Jesus tests his heart to sell your stuff. His stuff was pretty valuable to him. That's what had his heart. Jesus asked him, do you love your neighbor more than you love your riches? And the guy went away sad because he had lots of stuff and he liked this stuff. And he was okay with Jesus until it got to the point where it was actually going to cost him something personally. He had to get involved. And here again, I think it's easy to make fun of this guy. I mean, he's kind of a bad example. But the question is, you know, how tight do we hold on to our own stuff? Our time, our talents, our energy. Sometimes it's hard to give it up. Sometimes we need to do it intentionally. You look, you know, the youth group went to Minot, the flood. You know, they loved their neighbor, and they did it in a physical way that cost them some time, some energy. That's what God calls you. You need to make a sacrifice. You need to step out. You're not. It's not about you. It's about the people you're going to serve. Now, you know, you can do the right thing. You can go to Minot, or you can go to Mexico, and if you go with the wrong heart, you basically do it because you're trying to boost your own reputation, or you're trying to build your resume, it's not very beneficial. It's really not an act of worship. We're really looking, what is the heart of worship here? So we need to do, you know, for something to be worshipful, we need to do it out of love for God and your neighbor with a joyful heart, say not to make yourself look good. But we need to reach out in a tangible way, and sometimes that's going to cost us something. The third passage I want to take a look at before we tie some things together is in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "I tell you the truth," he said, "this poor widow has put more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." Now, so we have the two contrasts here. They got the widow and the rich. It doesn't specifically say here, but I get the impression that Jesus is talking to a bunch of Pharisees who typically, they wore the scripture boxes on their foreheads or whatever, and they prayed out in the streets so everybody'd see them pray, and I assume here that he's also talking to them about maybe some of their giving habits that they, you know, they give so they can be seen. And they thought they were pretty generous, because I imagine, I would assume they gave a lot more than that widow did in monetary terms. But Jesus was looking at the heart. You know, he knew when this widow gave, you know, so she gave her gift out of a sacrificial heart. You heard the IRS has come with a new tax form. It's got one question and one instruction. The first is the question. It says, "What do you have?" Line two is, "Send it in." And that's basically what this lady did. She looked around her house. She took, well, what do I have? And she took it and she gave it. So we're looking at these three different stories. And there's kind of some common themes that I want to kind of make a couple points out of. And basically there's three questions to ask about the heart of a true worshiper. Number one is, whose glory are you seeking? You look at the first commandment. It says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." God wants first place, and he will settle for nothing less. We look back in these three episodes here. David, he starts out that chapter doing a census of the people. He's not supposed to do a census of the people. Why is he doing the census of the people? I don't know. You would seem that he's kind of, you know, I'm king, it's doing pretty good, and I think I kind of want to count of how good it's going. You know, so sometimes I think there's a tendency in the heart to want to stroke your own ego and seek your glory versus God's. You know, eventually, you know, David gets it turned around. He knows that he's done wrong. He's repentant. He knows that he's going to bring an offering to God. It needs to be something from himself, not from the generous guy down the street. You look at the rich young man. As he comes to Jesus, I think what he's doing, he's looking for approval. He's looking for approval for his good behavior. He says, hey, I didn't do this bad, I didn't do that bad, I didn't do bad. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. And I think there's two things about his heart we look at. One is looking for his self-approval. The other thing is he kind of wanted to keep his own financial kingdom intact. It was kind of his own treasury. And he didn't really want to share it with anybody else. We look at the Pharisees. You know, I think to a large degree in this, we talk about this widow's offering here. I think the Pharisees typically the ones that want to be seen for doing their good deeds. They didn't necessarily do them to the glory of God. They were doing them for the glory of self, to make themselves look good, to build their reputation, to build their own ego, try to impress people. On the other hand, we look at the widow. Just a humble, sacrificial heart. Basically, she's saying, as long as I have something to give, I'll give it. I'm not worried about tomorrow. You know, so the question here is what you're doing motivated by getting praise from man, or is it motivated by giving glory to God? That's really the question you need to ask. The second question you need to ask is, who provides for you in the first place? You know, he provided everything. You know, if you got any questions where stuff came from, look, go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's where it all came from. That's where it all starts from. And we tend to forget that. It all comes from him. I think the thing is, a lot of times, we need to think about giving in plenty or want. Because I really think, and I've had it told to me before, and I've done a zillion tax returns, I've seen it before, is that if you're not faithful to give when you have a little, you probably won't be faithful to give when you have a lot. If you never have any time, and you never have any money, and you never have any effort for the Lord, then you need to sit down and reexamine your life and get your priorities straight. The third question of a true worshiper that you need to ask yourself is, who is on the throne of your life? You know, do you get going for the day and says, Lord, I got to do this, this, and this, and by the way, I need you to do this, 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 and this for me today? Or do you get up and say, Lord, it's a new day. Thanks for the day. Thanks for the sleep. Thanks for the air. Got anything for me to do today? If you would write down for a week or a month how you used all your minutes in the day, and then you give me your checkbook and show me where you spent all your money, I probably could tell you where your heart is. But if you look at how you spend your time and your efforts, you will know who's on the throne of your life. Your actions are a reflection of what's going on in your heart.